B-Pod Studios.
This is Checkpoint XP.
Esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
The latest in esports news is right here on Checkpoint XP. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to check out Forbes' list of 30 under 30 for gaming. Plus, we're going to take a look at 10 times publishers sabotage their own games. Plus, we've got to talk about some movies coming out, including Free Guy and the way to be able to check out a brand new scene from the upcoming Star Wars films. Those conversations still ahead here on Checkpoint XP, but first...
Oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
For the dive! For the master!
Oh, and another one! Oh, and a third! What is this?
Esports Gaming Update.
The World Championships for the fighting game Tekken wrapped up over the weekend, and Japan is back on top. After Korean and Pakistani players dominated the circuit in 2019, it was Japan's Chikurin who took home the lion's share of the $250,000 prize pool.
Yeah, and we just heard from the close shave of the week some of that audio, and it seemed like it was a really exciting tournament.
It is. I mean, Tekken, especially in Tekken 7, it's found its way into being probably the most exciting fighting game to watch in all of the FGC. I think a lot of laymans take a liking to Tekken 7 in particular, so it's had a really good year in 2019, and a $250,000 prize pool, I think, is indicative of that scene being really healthy and thriving. So I'm very excited for what they have in store for 2020.
I'm sorry, I will take Smash over Tekken any day.
Shut up.
Dignitas has been reportedly struggling to sign players after inking Huni to a two-year extension. Those problems have all cleared up as they have announced official signings for Aframu, Froggen, and Grig, the last two of which Dignitas even went so far as to buy out the remaining contracts they had with their previous teams.
I mean, this is cool, and again, Dignitas, formerly Clutch Gaming last season, is a team that went all the way to the LCS third-place game. They played their way into the Worlds, into the group stages of Worlds, so this was not a team that I think needed to make massive changes, but with the addition of Aframu, Froggen, and Grig, they get marginally better, but they did lose Cody Sun, who was a massive, massive help in bot lane. So, yeah, I think they kind of don't move. I think it's a push. They are where they are.
Overwatch Contenders is the Tier 2 league that serves to feed new talent into the Overwatch League. There seems to be a bit of a problem with Contenders as four Academy teams have dropped out of the 2020 season. Academy teams are those owned by the professional franchise teams in the Overwatch League proper. The teams that have dropped their Academy spots are the San Francisco Shock, the New York Excelsior, the Florida Mayhem, and most recently, the Los Angeles Gladiators.
Oh, man, that's not good. That's not good.
It's not, man. It's really terrible, and I think Overwatch really needs to think very hard about what's happening to their Tier 2 of competition, because if there's no pipeline of new talent, how do you sustain the lead?
Well, and it's so much more complicated because Blizzard has decided to personally oversee and manage every aspect of every league associated with
quote
the Overwatch
unquote,
brand.
Personally look over.
Well, right, but you don't have someone like an ESL or a DreamHack or someone stepping in to administer a lot of these tournaments.
And take that cost off of your hands, too.
Well,
that's
the issue.
They're putting so much focus on the Overwatch League itself that Contenders is kind of left to flounder.
They're languishing. Yes, exactly. They're neglected at the moment, and I think that it might behoove Blizzard to start looking at some of these management companies to come in and maybe oversee the administration of these tournaments. I don't know.
I'm all for crazy video game crossovers, but this one might take the cake as Snoop Dogg is set to join the announcer's desk in NHL 20. And he'll also be available to earn as a player. Now, he's no stranger to the esports scene or the hockey scene, as he's actually joined the Los Angeles Kings announcer desk for a game before.
I did not know that.
Neither did I.
I think that's absolutely amazing.
I think it's awesome. I just, you know, I maybe selfishly expected like the NBA or NFL, like NHL just kind of came out of nowhere.
Hey, listen, black folks play hockey too, man. Where's the PK Subban?
To that, though, I'd like to now see him also added to NBA 2K20, to Madden, put him in all the sports games.
You know what? I would probably be okay with that.
Gen G Esports officially steps in the world of Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and they do so with the former core members of Cloud9. Gen G announced their current roster of Automatic, Daps, and Kusta on Twitter, stating that the other two spots would be revealed in the weeks to come.
So these are some pretty aggressive pickups. Weirdbeard, you're our resident CSGO expert. What do you make of these?
Daps is a great player. He's played for Team Liquid, Optic Gaming, and NRG. So he's been around for a while, as well as Kusta. Kusta played for Ghost Gaming, but he's been in a bunch of majors. And Automatic actually has won one of the majors himself.
Oh, wow.
So I'm reserving judgment to see exactly kind of how it pans out. But it's in total opposition of what Renegades did, where they picked up an entire team. I'm interested to see if they pick up three, you know, main stars and fill out the rest, how it's going to go.
Can someone maybe check in on Cloud9, right? Like, their Overwatch, London Spitfire released basically their whole roster, whole new people. In League of Legends, they had their whole team snipe. Now, Gen G's picked up their entire core roster. I'm a little worried, guys.
Yeah.
And another big step forward for esports in the mainstream, the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences announced recently that a new Sports Emmy category will be added. For outstanding esports coverage, the award will recognize the craft behind the delivery of coverage and presentation of competitive, organized video gaming to the viewer during a championship or final event.
I think this is a big deal. This is a big deal. We've seen firsthand how much production effort goes into these leagues. And I have to say, acknowledging the work that goes in behind the scenes is so, so important. So I think that this is a great addition.
So who wins?
That's a really, really tough question. I have to, you know what? Here, I will say this. I have to know the nominees.
Yeah.
Before I can tell you who
wins.
I'm
going to say it's Worlds. I don't care. It's Worlds.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website. Head on over to our
website,
guys. That's checkpointxp.com.
That's an interesting British accent that you slipped into.
Why didn't you slide over to our website? Why didn't you? Are you Junkrat now?
Well, I'd be Australian. But.
Yeah. Thanks, Robbie, for the update. Despite their esports scene being around 15 years ahead of the rest of the world, even South Korea has their own set of problems when it comes to unfair esports contracts. It's actually so serious that the Free Trade Commission is getting involved.
Yes, they basically pledged to comb through the relevant regulations and examine all contracts, and they're basically taking this preliminary inspection of Korean the Korean Esports Association, KESPA. They're looking at their standard contract. So this isn't even like a one-off type stuff. This is pretty ingrained, and this came out last October when someone had blown the whistle on a League of Legends pro team, Griffin's former coach, Kim Dae-ho of the team. He had mentioned that there's these really lopsided contracts for players, such as if you want to terminate your contract early, you have to pay what you would have made that entire year double in under 6 months. And any tournament or competition winnings you get, you don't get any of that. That goes to the organization, and then they decide how much to pay you.
That's, first of all,
wow.
That's absolutely ridiculous, and that is not at all how it would work in any Western country or America. So here,
not that it's much better here. I mean, look at what TVU's going through.
It's
right
true
now.
But that, again, that's different because that is a content creation contract. We're talking about esports athletic contracts. And the way an athletic contract would work in the United States is you would sign on for X amount of years. Maybe there would be guaranteed money up front. So no matter what, you would be guaranteed that money just for joining the team.
Correct.
There could be a signing bonus involved, and then there could be performance bonuses. But Korea has had a culture of being the first, and therefore I think a lot of this is remnants of how things used to be, and it just never got updated to as the scene grew.
You know, that's a really important point because Korea is about 15 years ahead of the rest of the world in setting up their esports scene and having it being taken seriously from a cultural perspective.
Well, and they even have KESPA, which is an organization, an association that's supposed to, you know, watch after
the oversight committee.
Exactly.
But by being the first one to the table, they have also probably, I'm just guessing, I don't know for sure, but they have probably got some really bad habits,
yeah.
right? Like, if you're the first one there and you're flying mostly under the radar,
there's
until
no one
it
there
becomes
to check you.
Exactly. There is no check or balance against your power and what you can leverage against these kids.
Yeah, and in the case of the Griffin coach, I mean, this was a major scandal because after he whistleblew on this particular contract, he was released from the team. This was all going on right before the World Championships went down. It was a major scandal in Korean esports. And so this was something that, you know, you saw the chips falling, you saw the dominoes falling, and this is where we end up. And I think something has to change, especially as we see more investment from Europe and from the West and from America, where a lot of esports professionals from Korea are just going to decide to go elsewhere. And that is not what the Korean scene wants.
Well, and at least it doesn't look like anyone's planning to fight against this. Kespa has basically mentioned, you know, that they're looking into it, anything that needs to be revised that they're willing to do. So it sucks that it's existed like this for as long as it has, but hopefully it works itself out so that these players are in better conditions.
Yeah, let's hope that everyone follows through on what they say they're going to do, because of course, whenever this comes to light, you get a lot of people paying it lip service. Oh, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. And then you check up on it in 6 months and the problem still exists. So we'll see if it'll be rectified. But I do think that there's going to need to be some international pressure applied for, you know, organizations like KESPA to really take this seriously and not just kind of, you know, slap on the wrist sort of thing. Listen, we want to hear from you. How serious do you think this issue is? Do you think that, you know, player contracts in Korea need to be investigated? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we got to take a look at a brand new movie coming out featuring Ryan Reynolds called Free Guy, where he just basically plays an NPC. We'll talk about that coming up here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we got a look at Forbes 30 Under 30 for gaming. There are some familiar faces here. Plus, we're going to talk about 10 times that publishers sabotage their own game. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP. Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming.
A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Hey, welcome back to another hour of Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up this hour on Checkpoint XP, there's some new old games coming to the Switch. We're going to tell you all about it. Plus, we've got to check in on Failed It this hour. And we're going to talk about some of the best gaming ripoffs of all time. Those conversations coming up to you here on Checkpoint XP. But first,
gaming news update.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
United States Congress congressman, mushmouth today, guys, by the name of Duncan Hunter recently pled guilty to spending campaign funds on all sorts of weird things, including Steam games and plane tickets for his family pet rabbit.
Oh, my God.
The amount of funds that were illegally converted was $250,000. But don't worry.
Oh, my God.
He does plan on resigning, stating shortly after the holidays.
After we took that trip.
I will resign from Congress, he said in a statement. It has been an honor to serve the people of California's 50th district, and I greatly appreciate the trust they have put in me over these last 11 years.
Shut up, okay? Because you wanted to sit around and, you know, buy Boyfriend Dungeon for you and the rest of your family. Like, that's so stupid, man. Like,
the rest of his family of rabbits that he has to fly cross country, apparently.
It's so dumb.
I don't understand it, but I don't know.
Delivering on a promise they made earlier this year, Psyonix has removed all loot boxes from Rocket League. Now, instead of buying a pack of random rewards in the game, you can purchase blueprints that reward you with exactly what you want.
I've actually heard some backlash to this because people are saying the blueprints are quote-unquote too expensive. But here's the thing, right? I would much rather pay an extra buck or two to get exactly what I want as opposed to a random chance.
Yeah, there's not going to be like
never getting it.
Yeah,
so.
There's not going to be a 1-to-1 ratio of one loot box equals exactly what you want. They still got to make that money.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not particularly mad about it.
DICE, developers of Star Wars Battlefront 2, have announced a new hero to join their lineup of characters such as Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, and Han Solo. I want you guys to guess who it is, and I'll give you a clue. This character made their appearance in The Force Awakens.
Kylo Ren.
He's already in it.
Oh, crap.
He's going to be the odd job of Battlefront 2. It's BB-8.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
The smallest.
No wonder why I stopped playing this crap.
The smallest possible hitbox ever.
Yeah.
That is so dumb. Can you play as R2?
No.
Then shut go away!
Yeah, he's going to serve as like a support character role, but I couldn't not include this in the news.
That's stupid.
A bit of trouble may be brewing in the world of online trading card games. CD Projekt Red, the developers behind The Witcher, announced they're shutting down their Witcher-inspired card game Gwent on consoles.
Good.
And Bethesda also announced that Elder Scrolls Legends, their card game based on the Elder Scrolls series, is no longer going to get updates, but the game will remain live.
This makes all the sense in the world.
Does it?
Yes. You've got... First of all,
Magic Arena is smacking everybody
exactly.
in the face.
Magic Arena came out and really even overtook Hearthstone to the surprise of many, right? And I think after that, it was like after the success of Hearthstone that developers tried to jump on this bandwagon. And I think that that's exactly what happened. There was too much bandwagoning. There were too many card game products out there. And it was sort of like the boom, the collectible card game boom in the 90s. I got stuck with a set of Star Wars trading card game cards.
I have some Dragon Ball trading card games.
That I could do nothing with because nobody else ever played it.
I'll just say this, though. You got to wait till next year because once Legends of Runeterra comes out from Riot Games, that's going to make big waves, too.
We'll see.
It's just surprising to see the big names suffer when the indie games like Slay the Spire are still doing great.
That's true.
Fair point.
Riot Games shocked the world a few months ago when they announced they'd be making a slew of new games, including a fighting game, a card game, a role-playing game, and many others. It turns out that's only the beginning of their plans for the world of Runeterra. They've created a new label called Riot Forge, which will work with third-party developers to create new games using the League of Legends intellectual
properties. I think this is absolutely intelligent. This is the best way for them to do this. You know, one development team or one development house is only going to have enough bandwidth for, you know, enough games. The thing is that League of Legends already requires so much development work constantly because it's spaghetti coded together from like a decade old game. So, I mean, I think this is smart and I think it'll get some fresh blood and fresh feel to the company.
Square Enix is looking to expand out of video games as they announced a new division for live interactive works, and their first project is a ninja theme park called Ninja Tower Tokyo. All we know for sure is that they're looking to deliver a ninja entertainment experience.
This is so dumb.
Hey, it's not, you know what? It's not Plinko machines or whatever.
Pachinko machines.
Yes.
No, okay, so here's the thing. So if you're telling me that this is basically Discovery Zone for adults, I'm kind of in.
Here's the thing. No, what I want this to be is I want it to be a full ninja training course so I can watch Derek McWeeb over here try and fail miserably to, like, do the rope climb or try to scale a flat
do
surface.
The run across water thing?
Yeah, anything.
2K Games has announced the creation of Cloud Chamber, a new studio that will helm the next entry into the BioShock franchise.
Yes!
It doesn't have Kevin Levine attached to it, but there is a handful of alumni from other BioShock games on the new team. And just to be clear, this game is still a few years out.
I just don't know how I feel about it not having Ken Levine attached to it. That's really my only reservation.
I mean, at worst, it's what, BioShock 2, which was still a good game.
It was passable.
Passable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all for the Checkpoint XP gaming update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Robbie, for the update. Also, over at our website, checkpointxp.com, you can check out our conversation with Tom Ryan, a.k.a. Ogre 2, the general manager of the Florida Mutineers that are competing in the Call of Duty League. Let's take a listen to that interview.
So what is the philosophy of the Mutineers? Do you guys have a team philosophy?
Yeah, we do. So we actually came up with a Mutineers code. It's kind of like a pirate code, but for the Mutineers.
Love it.
We had a couple pretty generic ones that we put in there, but we had the guys put some input in here, and they threw in a couple pretty funny ones too. But so the code reads: "We are loyal to our crew, all for one and one for all. We are relentless in the pursuit of victory. Mediocrity is a term best served for our competitors, and throw shoulders or get thrown overboard." And I'm not too hip on the term throw shoulders, but apparently that's a thing in the Call of Duty scene.
You can hear the full interview over at our website, checkpointxp.com. Just in time for the holidays, Sony has hit us with one final state of play for 2019. It's like a mini press conference of some games that are coming up. Like the previous few state of plays, there wasn't anything too groundbreaking in here, but it did end on a nice surprise.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here is they gave us more information about what Project Resistance is, and it turns out the Resident Evil 3 remake is on its way.
I'm so excited. Listen, Resident Evil, I don't even like horror games, but Resident Evil is one of my favorite game franchises ever. Y'all know I'm a Capcom stan. Y'all know I love this company. Y'all know I love this series. I'm in. I'm going to stream it. I'm going to scream. I'm going to die. It's going to be great.
So I know that Resident Evil 2 is like one of your all-time favorites. How do you feel about Resident Evil 3?
Resident Evil 3 was one, I don't want to say it's one of my least favorites because that goes to Code Veronica, but I think, you know, it's a great game. It was a game that I think borrowed a little bit too much from 2. That's how it came out so quickly, because they reused a lot of assets. But I think this game is going to be great because it's built in that new engine.
Yes.
And to see Nemesis that new engine, oh my god, Anima, just be weird for a minute. Jill Valentine looks dumb hot.
Okay. All right.
And also,
thanks for that.
Speaking of coming out really quickly, April 3rd next year.
Why in April?
Oh, man, you're still going to be playing Cyberpunk, aren't you?
I have no time. I'll have no money.
There were some other pretty cool announcements in here, including a trailer for a new game called Babylon's Fall that's being developed by Square Enix and Platinum Games.
Those are some good names right there.
There are some great names. And I got to say, visually, this trailer looks stunning.
I was conflicted because, like, I see some Bayonetta and, like, some Devil May Cry sort of inspirations, but then I also think, like, the combat's very FF15/Nier Automata.
I will give you I understand your concern. Platinum Games also made Metal Gear Rising Revengeance
and Bayonetta,
which was one of the best samurai slashers I've ever played. Hands down, I am willing to trust Platinum with action mechanics.
There you go. Took the words out of my mouth. I would trust Platinum. No. Gameplay, I trust Platinum.
Absolutely, hands down.
Yeah, we also have a release date for Predator Hunting Grounds is also coming out near the end of April.
Yes! Now, Nate, I know you were really hype about this one.
I'm super hype about this. Here's the thing. We always get Alien games.
Yeah.
Alien Isolation. There was that really bad one, Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
And then a bevy of ones that had come before that. Rarely do you ever get Predator involved unless it's attached to the Alien franchise. Yeah. I'm so excited for just a Predator game, and I really like. I want to see how the Predator
it does, and it looks like a Dead by Daylight style game where it's going to be like one Predator versus a bunch of Marines. So it looks interesting. I can't wait to see it in action.
Finally, the last one that really disappoints me is it's another VR game, Paper Beasts, and this just shows the problem with VR games right now. It's being built as a VR Odyssey experience or whatever. And you basically just go around this world and interact.
Looking at big old paper giraffes, it looks lame.
Right. Like, let's get some real development into virtual reality.
Flat out.
Listen, I'm with you there. VR needs some serious help. But listen, we want to hear from you. What was your favorite announcement from Sony's State of Play? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, Tetris was recently featured on ESPN2, and we're going to talk about it. Plus, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what's on your holiday wish list. But ahead next, there are some new old games headed to the Switch. Plus, we're going to check out Failed It and talk about the best worst gaming ripoffs ever. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.